In the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, today is the indiction, the new year, September 1st. But I must speak about this parable for Sunday, for the 13th Sunday after Pentecost, which is the parable of the vineyard. Of course, like all parables, it has multiple meanings. There's a surface meaning. There's a meaning for the time in which Jesus was speaking. And then there is the timeless meaning, the meaning for all people. This parable was originally spoken, of course, to the Jews, and it was about the Jews, and it was to rebuke the Jews, that is, those Jews that did not accept him, and that would eventually kill him. But it is also a parable that is to us, because each of the things in the parable that are metaphors for things, that are symbols for things, mean something to the Jews, and something also to the church. So he says here a parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard, hedged it round about, digged a wine press in it, built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen. Then he went into a far country. Each one of these things has a particular meaning. The householder, of course, is God himself, who created all things. And as the householder, the master of the house, he is over all things. He plants a vineyard. The vineyard, for the Jews, is the altar of sacrifice, where the animals were sacrificed for the remission of their sins. The hedge, what does a hedge do? It sets something off, away from other things. It's a protection. It's a barrier. So it is the law of Moses, which protected the people of God, showed them the way they should live, and also the hedge is the protection of God, the grace of God protecting every man. Now the tower is, for the Jews, Jerusalem, and the temple in Jerusalem, the preeminent holiest place on earth. So, he lets it out to husbandmen. This is very typical. You have, as a householder, you prepare your land, you have servants taking care to make sure that your fruits come in their seasons. And those husbandmen are, of course, the leaders of the people, the scribes, and the Pharisees. And he goes into a far country. This has two meanings for the Jews. And that is, one is that when he was guiding the people with a pillar of cloud during the day, the pillar of fire during the night, when they were on their trek from Egypt, from sin, to Jerusalem, righteousness, he was always present with them, wasn't he? They knew he was always there. It was a visual sense that he was present with the people. But then when they came to the promised land, he no longer appeared in the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud. So, one could say that he went away. Another interpretation, equally valid, very important to know, because many people fall prey to this idea, that going into a far country, that means Jesus Christ, or the God in general, is merciful, long-suffering towards our sins. As if he is far away, and we're not being punished by him. And some people, when they're not punished, they tend to think that what they're doing is right. Or at least what they're doing will not be punished, and they continue in their sins. The Lord only stays away punishment for us in order for us to come to our senses. And this way he would be thought to be in a far country. But he will be coming back. Remember the parable about the Good Samaritan? He went into a far country too, but he said, when I come back, I will repay you. And that will happen for each one of us. So, the time of fruit drew near. And what is this time of fruit? Well, that is the time of the prophets for the Jews. Because the prophets were all speaking about the fruit to come, Jesus Christ to become incarnate and therefore to make us capable of bearing good fruit. So the prophets spoke of him incessantly for hundreds of years. And so what happened when those servants that were speaking of the fruits went to the husbandmen, the Jews, or to the vineyard, excuse me, and to the husbandmen who were taking care of the Jewish people and wanted fruit? Well, the Lord says the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. And this is not just figurative language. Turns out that, for instance, Zechariah, son of Berechiah, one of the later prophets, right? I mean, during the transition, really, from old to new, he was killed between the altar and the temple, the father of John the Baptist. And then there was Micah, who was slapped by Zedekiah. And then there was Isaiah, who was cloven by a sword. Many other examples of prophets that were mistreated and even tortured and killed because of their message. So what does the Lord do? He sent other servants more than the first. He's just speaking about the incredible number of prophets, amazing number of prophets during this period of many hundreds of years where the people were being prepared for the incarnation. And so, what happened? They also were killed and were mistreated. So then he said, they will reverence my Son. And of course, the Son is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. So he comes to the vineyard. He comes to the Jewish people. And he tells them about fruit, about how to bear fruit, about how to be good fruit. And what did they do? Well, they killed him. They plotted against him. And they took him outside the city and they crucified him. And they killed him. So then the Lord asked this question, what's going to happen to those men? And from their very mouths, these people that were listening to the parable, who were plotting against him, could not gainsay. What did they say? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and let out his vineyard to other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. He made them announce that there would be other husbandmen. And those other husbandmen would be the apostles and their successors, the hierarchs. And they would let out the vineyard to others. And who are the others? The others are those stones which can be raised up as children to Abraham. The others are the Gentiles. The others are you and I. The others are the church of God. Not just the Jews, but all men. And he gives this somewhat cryptic explanation that Jesus Christ would unite Jews and Gentiles together, and there would be one church. Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The stone is Jesus Christ. He becomes the head stone, the cornerstone. The cornerstone joins two walls together. The Jews and the Gentiles joined together by Christ, who is the head of all. Really marvelous, wonderful imagery. Very beautiful. But it means nothing if we don't live according to what this parable teaches. Nothing at all. It's just pretty words if we don't take home something about how we should live. All right? What does this parable mean for the Christian? Which means the Jew and the Gentile. The people of the church, what does it mean? What are we made for? We're made for good works. We are His good workmanship. We are created for good works unto Christ Jesus. We are the vineyard now. The Christian soul is the vineyard. Each one of us is the vineyard. And that vineyard, what is a vineyard's purpose? To bear fruit. This is why we are born, to bear fruit. Now all these things around the vineyard have a meaning for the Christian. The hedge is the church. The traditions of the church, the teachings of the church, the way of life that is Christian, that protects us from things that are outside of the vineyard. Dangerous things, marauding animals, passions, sins. The wine press. Well, of course, it was the sacrifice of animals for the Jews. Then it must be the sacrifice Jesus Christ made for us. It is the Eucharist. Just as the Jews had sacrifices, we now are fed from the altar, as they were fed. But we are fed of the body and blood of Christ, not the blood of bulls and goats and sheep, but the body and blood of Christ. The tower has a particularly exceptional meaning for the Christian. The tower is not a place. The tower is the state of mind. What does one do in a tower? You climb up high in a tower and you can see the entire landscape. And the watchman, if he is careful, will be able to see anything coming for many miles. The tower is watchfulness. Christianity is about watchfulness. To watch yourself. To take heed to yourself. And of course, the husbandmen now are not only the hierarchs, but also ourselves. Aren't we the royal priesthood, a peculiar people set aside for good works? Absolutely. So we are also the husbandmen of this vineyard. The vineyard is our soul, our collective souls as well, the whole church, and we should care for that soul very carefully. Because we must bring forth fruit. Because the master of the house, he will come back. And he will demand of his servants, how have they been living? He will see. And we must bear fruit. There is no choice in the matter. Either we bear fruit or we do not. And if we do not bear fruit, we die. So that is the Christian meaning of the parable. But remember that just as the Jews who did not bear fruit, they were cast out of the vineyard, so will it be with us. This is a marvelous parable because it really encompasses, you know how I told you about the parable about the Good Samaritan. Remember what the Samaritan did when he saw the wounds of the man who had been left half dead? He bound them up, that is, fixed them. He set them to healing. He poured in oil and wine. And oil is soothing teachings of God. And the wine is those astringent, bitter things. We also need to know when the Lord rebukes us about our sins. Well, this parable has oil and wine in it. It gives us this marvelous picture of the church being hedged round about with a tower, with a wine press, with everything that is needful for us to bear fruit. But it also tells us, if we do not bear fruit, we will be cast out of the vineyard. So brothers and sisters, don't make any mistake now. You are husbandmen as well. The care of the church is up to you, as well as up to the bishops and the priests. You are no less responsible for following the commandments of God than a patriarch is. The same commandments apply to you and to he. So we are all husbandmen, workers in the vineyard. So let us work. Amen.